Hello, and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff, and today we're going to be talking with a very wonderful young man, one of the stars of YouTube, an up-and-coming comedian who has donated a kidney to his sister. And we'll talk with him and with his sister about their experience. This program is brought to you as a service of the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance. Read about us at thepowerfulpatient.org. Everyone who registers on our website will receive a free copy of our publication, 8 Ways You Can Help Your Doctor Save Your Life. We will answer as many of your questions as possible. If we use your question on the air, we will send you a special gift. Again, the website is powerfulpatient.org. Before I introduce our guest today, let me give you a little background on transplantation. In December 2007, according to the United Network for Organ Sharing, there are 98,000 people waiting for a transplant. They're on the list, they have been medically qualified, and they will die if they don't get the transplant. In all of 2007, 21,000 transplants were performed. Only 21,000 because of the shortage of donors. And notice that that's only one-fifth of the number of people who are waiting on the list. So that means that the people on the list are likely to wait as long as 5 years for a transplant to become available. And most of those people won't make it for 5 years. If one of those people is someone that you care about, how can you influence that? How can you make that trip shorter for that loved one of yours? You're going to hear a very poignant story today about a young woman named Maureen, who's only 26 years old, who needed a kidney transplant. And her brother stepped up to the plate. Her brother has donated one of his kidneys to his sister. As we speak with Maureen, we are going to hear a number of specifics about her condition. Try not to get too caught up in the details, but stay at a higher level and just listen for the process that she went through. When she needed a transplant, it could have been a lung transplant, it could have been a liver transplant. Whatever the condition is, someone is in a dire straits, and you'll hear the pain that she was going through, and then how the transplant made a huge difference in her life, and how the donor was able to do this and maintain his own health. I think that's always very important when someone is considering donation. You need to know that the transplant team is going to check you very, very carefully. They assign a doctor specifically for you. There's a doctor for the patient who needs the donation, but there's also a specific doctor assigned to the donor to make sure that they are arguing for the health of the donor, and they will not permit you to do anything that is wrong for your own health. Going through the evaluation process itself is very comforting, knowing that they're definitely watching out for the health of the donor. The young man in question is a comedian who performs regularly on YouTube. YouTube is on the internet, www.youtube.com, and you've probably heard about this video phenomenon where people can put homemade videos up on the internet and show them to thousands, if not millions, of viewers. Ed Bassmaster is one of those comedians who has been doing delightful skits on the internet that are becoming very, very popular. And he has quite a following. So let's go meet Maureen and her brother Ed Bassmaster from YouTube.
I was telling Ed that the first I heard about this was in our French online discussion group. We have an online discussion group in 5 different languages. And somebody posted in the French one of the messages to Ed from YouTube
Okay.
that talked about the kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all very excited, and I hope everything went well for both of you.
Yeah, it went great.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's going well. Going great. I feel 100% back, to be honest with you.
Fantastic. How long ago was the transplant?
It was October 23rd.
October. Okay. And now we're in December, so it's 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Oh, that's wonderful.
Not even 2 months, because it was October 23rd, so.
Uh-huh. Super. So, Maureen, how long were you on dialysis?
7 months.
7 months.
Yeah.
And was it going well, or were you having problems on dialysis?
I was sick for the entire 7 months, pretty much. I had a lot of problems with my blood pressure, a lot of nausea. So it wasn't fun.
Yeah, I mean, dialysis never is fun, but
no.
It's really too bad. And I think one of the things that's different for people with VHL is that most people who wind up on dialysis do it gradually. They've lost bits of kidney function over time, and it's getting worse, and then they start plugging that hole with dialysis. But with VHL, you wind up losing your kidney function pretty abruptly.
Yeah, I went from feeling totally normal to going on dialysis.
Okay, so you want to tell me some about that? What's been going on with you with VHL for?
Well, it started with me when I was 4 in my eyes, and I went blind when I was 17. I had my right eye removed when I was 4, and then I just had my left eye removed in August.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 3 brain surgeries and about 8 partial nephrectomies before I lost both the kidneys. I've had a pheo in my bladder, so I'm up to 27 surgeries now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one, too.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Oh, I know it must have meant a lot to Ed and to your family to be able to really help you in this way.
Yeah.
So, Ed, do you want to tell us about making the decision to be a kidney donor?
Well, there wasn't really a decision, to be honest with you. When she needed one, it was just kind of, I knew I was going to do it. I didn't really think about it. So, I didn't really have to sit there and decide. I just knew I was going to do it.
Yeah.
I knew she would do it for me, too.
Right.
So it wasn't a hard decision, and everybody on my side, my wife and everything, was all for it 100%. It was kind of like there was no other option for me to not step up to the plate and offer my kidney to her.
That's wonderful. And so many times, you know, being a bystander with someone who's been through as much as Maureen has, it's difficult when you can't really do anything more than hold her hand and help make decisions, but
and that was part of it. Just, I mean, she's been through so many surgeries. Same with my mom and my brother, and I'm just sitting back, and it gets kind of depressing. And here I am, 100% healthy. So now that kind of like I don't know how to explain it. It kind of made me feel better. Now I can contribute to all their pain and suffering, and not feel like I'm just helpless and not doing anything.
Great.
So I chiseled it for them.
Well, it's a wonderful gift. And here we are at Christmas time, and you've given her the most marvelous gift of all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you said you were sick while you were on dialysis. So
yeah.
What happened once you had the transplant? Then what happened?
I felt so much better. I can't even put into words how much better I felt. It was just amazing.
I really didn't feel that way.
No, he didn't. I was up and eating and walking and doing good, and he was still in bed across the hall.
Right. Well, it's one of the interesting things about kidney transplants is that for the donor, it's a bigger deal surgery than it is for the recipient,
mm-hmm.
really. And I know I gave a kidney to my son, so they warned us that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was just so thrilling for me to see the change in him. And now, was yours like on the first day or the second or third day that you felt so much better?
I would say like the second or third day. I mean, you know, the first day from having the surgery itself, you know, I was in some pain and everything. But like the third day, I would say I really, really, really felt much, much better.
It's definitely worth it to anybody that's listening to that's thinking about doing it, trust me. I was on pain medication in the hospital for the first day, and then after that, I never took a pain pill. They sent me home with pain pills on the third day. I never even opened the bottle. There was literally no pain. It was discomfort, but I didn't experience any pain at all.
Right. I mean, it is surgery. We don't need to tell people that it's not. But
right. But
on the other hand, it feels so good to you to be able to do that, that it makes up for a lot of the discomfort that you're feeling. And the transplant teams always take very, very good care of the donor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took real good. They were very good.
So you each had your own surgeon, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody who's dedicated to your own personal health, so that
right. The
donor had somebody specially watching out for the donor's health as well.
Yes.
And so it's a whole team project.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And, Ed, I'm fascinated by your comedy career here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can you tell us some about your comedy career and how that came
sure
about?
Can.
I saw you've been on YouTube for a year, and you've done 122 videos.
Yeah, 123. No,
okay.
I did one last night.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I've joined YouTube a year ago. I didn't even really know what it was, but prior to that, I had done some stand-up comedy, and I wanted to pursue a career in acting and particularly in the comedy field, so I just started making my own comedy sketches and skits and putting them on YouTube under my username, which is Ed Bassmaster, and been doing really well. I've got a lot of potential leads coming in less than a year. A couple of my videos have been on national television already. One's going to be on Fox soon, I'm not sure when. The doggy driving video that I made has over 2.5 million views. One's going to be on Fox.
That's
adorable.
I'm
excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
That really is adorable. That you have some really fascinating characters on there, too.
Thanks.
That you say are neighbors. I don't know if they're based
on
neighbors.
Yeah, some of them are neighbors. Some of them are based on real... Most of those characters are based on real people that I meet every day. And I've always been an impersonator, and I think that's my niche in life. And I think that we do it, you know, as a family, because it helps us deal with the pain through laughter. And through all these hospital visits and surgeries, I basically try to keep everybody's spirits up by keeping them laughing.
He keeps us before every surgery. We're the only ones in the holding area hysterical, laughing at Eddie.
Yeah, it's been a fun trip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mom was going in for emergency brain surgery. We were in the intensive care unit, all laughing so hard we actually got told we had to be quiet.
That is great. That
mm-hmm.
is great.
And when my surgeon came in day after I had my kidney taken out, my mom was in the room, and I winked to her. I said, "Don't say anything." And when he came in, I started moaning, "Oh, oh!" And the look on his face was priceless. And he's, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" And I said, "Ah, nothing. I feel fine." And he busted out laughing. It was so funny to see a surgeon he was so nervously laughing. He didn't know how to handle it. He'd never seen something like that before. But that's how we deal with it.
That's great. So tell me about Vinny, your character Vinny.
Vinny from Brooklyn is just, you know, a typical Brooklyn guy, tough guy, wannabe, actually. He lives in his grandmom's basement. His everyday wardrobe is a wife beater and the grandpa hat and the gold pinky ring and gold tooth. And he basically lashes out in anger at everything and everybody and yells at his grandmom all the time. He became really popular.
Let's take a little break here, and when we come back, we'll meet Vinny. This program is brought to you as a service of the Cancer Research Fund of the VHL Alliance. Read about us at thepowerfulpatient.org. Everyone who registers on our website will receive a free copy of our publication, 8 Ways You Can Help Your Doctor Save Your Life. We will answer as many of your questions as possible. If we use your question on the air, we will send you a special gift. Again, the website is powerfulpatient.org. Let's take a minute here and let Vinny introduce himself to you. This is Ed Bassmaster as Vinny in a skit called Vinny Sings.
How's it going? This is Vinny from Brooklyn here. I just received an email today I'd like to share with everybody. And this email comes from Macy from New Jersey. It's right down the road from me. What do you know? Anyways, here it goes. Dear Vinny, I love your videos. I think you are one of the toughest guys on YouTube. Tell me something I didn't know. What are your other hobbies and interests? Can you sing and dance? Can you sing a song for us? From Macy. Well, Mace, of course I sing and dance. What does Vinny look like, a one-hit wonder to you, huh? I mean, what do you think? I just come on the internet and make these little videos for everybody to get all laughy about me and whatnot? I sing, I dance, I draw cartoons for the kids and whatnot. I do a little bit of everything, okay? I'm an entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying? So, I prepared this little song for you, Mace, and I'd like to sing it for you. And this one's a classic, I'm sure you know it. Scooby-dooby-doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-dooby-doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you pretending you got a sliver. But you're not fooling me, 'cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. There you go. So you didn't think Vinny could sing, huh? Of course I could sing, babe. Come on, next time you find yourself second-guessing what Vinny can and can't do, don't worry about it, babe. I do everything. So anyways, maybe next time I'll make a little video dancing for you or something. I don't know.
And then there's Earl, who's his neighbor. You'd have to see Earl. I can't describe him. But Earl is very, very popular, and you got to check him out. I honestly can't describe him.
Right.
There's about 10 or more other characters I have.
Yes, Earl is very much a visual experience, but let's hear how Francis, another one of Ed's characters, introduces Earl. This is from a skit called Francis the Ex-Gangster.
What does he look like? Well, for one thing, his head looks like a rotten coconut with spaghetti hanging off the side of it. I don't know, he's got some kind of weird look going on, and his teeth look like rotten watermelon. Oh gosh, he's got to be about 50 years old, honey baby. He's been used and abused, if you know what I mean, between you and I.
Earl actually appeared on the Dr. Phil show. Not really, but here's a skit called Earl on the Dr. Phil Show by Ed Bassmaster, and Ed is playing both the part of Dr. Phil and the part of Earl.
Now, folks, today we have a very special show for you. We have one of the cast members from the Ed Bassmaster show on today. Now, I've never had the pleasure of meeting our next guest, but I've heard a lot about him. His name's Earl, so why don't we go ahead and get things started and bring out Earl. Come on out, Earl. Come on out on the show. Have a seat on the Dr. Phil show. Oh, man, I cracked myself up. What the? Oh, my God, what the heck?
What the heck, you?
Oh, good Lord, good Lord.
No, it's just me, Earl.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable, folks. I've never seen something like this
before. I'm on natural
rhythm. I'm going to have to start with the obvious. What happened to you?
Oh, well, last week I got laryngitis.
I don't know about that. I'm going to have to shoot straight to the pointy head here, folks, and say, hey, brother, you look like Freddy Krueger on crack, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's that noise? What is wrong with this guy? I'm going to have to get him on the Dr. Phil house and get him an extreme makeover. I mean, this is disgusting. His face looks like a pepperoni pizza.
No. Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, tell us about Rashish.
Rashish is actually based off of... I got a lot of people thinking, not necessarily calling me racist, but kind of leading towards that. And actually, it's based off of my friend Raj, who very close friend of mine, who owned a newsstand in one of the malls I worked at. And we were friends for about 8 years. And I would have him in stitches doing this character, basically impersonating him, and he'd be in stitches. So then I brought it to life on YouTube, and I only did him about 3 times because I didn't want to offend anybody. You know, some people do get offended by if you do different groups of people, different
mm-hmm.
races.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, surprisingly, I have also another close friend who's from Bangladesh, and she loves him. She loves Rajesh. You know, it's just everybody takes things differently. And like I said, we tend to our family takes things that are serious and tragedies and try to make humor out of them.
Right. He's an Indian. He's a rapper from India.
He's an Indian rapper, and he was a real strong supporter of Sanjaya when Sanjaya was out. And from what I've heard, Sanjaya actually saw the video. I heard this through the grapevine. I don't know if it's true. Actually, my Daughtry impersonation, I heard from somebody off of Daughtry's official website that his whole band saw my impersonation of him, and they were hysterical laughing, so.
Hey, what's up, man? What's good? This is your man, Raj, man. And this video is to all the haters out there, man, that are trying to get Sanjaya voted off, man, and saying he can't sing, man. What gives? Of course he can sing. He's still on the show, ain't he, man? I mean, dang, stop hating all the time. Hate. So anyways, I made a rap, and this goes out to all the haters out there. So sit back, relax, check this out, and you will see that I am the real deal too, man. What y'all waiting on? I can sing, I can dance, I'm good looking. I mean, dang, man. What gives? This is the real deal, man. So check it out, man. Dang, man. What y'all waiting on? Hardcore rap beats, man. Oh, they put down this beautiful track, man. What they are waiting on, man? These guys are the best, man. Make a rap beat for you. Check it out, man. And if you like, subscribe, right? Rajesh and the Hizzy, make it dizzy. Check it out. I-N-D-I-A, I come from India, East Side Bombay. I made this rap with no recital. You never see me on American Idol. I'm blowing up the charts, man, my stats are vital. Putting cramp in your stomach, you need to take Mito. I don't smoke weed, don't smoke hashish. Cool Indian rapper, man, my name's Rajesh. But all my homies just call me Raj. I'm blowing up just like the Taj. More hard, I won't fall, I'll be held back. I'm just like a cobra, man, I spit back. And if you're talking whack about this track, I'll grab the microphone and give you a whack. I'm spitting out lyrics, man, I won't retire. Lyrics so hot, man, I'm on fire. You can't boot me off, this is my empire. I'm here to stay, just like Sanjaya. You heard? Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. Spitting out lyrics like that, man, I am the real deal. What y'all waiting on, man? Any agents out there looking for the good rappers, man? Give me a call, man, I am the real deal. What y'all waiting on? Peace. Yeah, man. You heard, huh?
That's great. And the other one I pulled off was Steve Irwin.
Yes, I did a Steve Irwin impersonation. I made a video for the 1 year tribute of his death in September, and I actually met Terry Irwin about three weeks ago. I met her at a book signing, and I gave her the link to the video, and she was very excited about it. And I actually uploaded a video of me meeting her on my other YouTube channel, which is My Family Channel. And if you're interested in seeing that, if you go to My Family Channel on YouTube, there's a video of my encounter meeting Terry Irwin, who was very, very nice.
Oh, she looks lovely on the. And I have to tell you, I had to keep looking at the video to prove to myself that it wasn't Steve. It was such a good impression of his voice.
Thank you.
It was really delightful. So, very clever.
Yeah, you can go ahead and play them. We'll listen.
Okay. No, I won't play them now, but I'll knit them in when I'm doing the final editing for the show.
No problem.
So how did you happen to get the inspiration for... how did you happen to get the inspiration for Earl?
Honestly, I've got asked that several times, and I don't remember how I came up with Earl. He just sort of happened. I can tell you, Vinny from Brooklyn was a big fan of Bugs Bunny and Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, and mm-hmm. I think he's a mixture of those two characters. His wisecracks, like Bugs Bunny, and his... how could I say stupidness from Archie Bunker? His ignorance, I should say. His ignorance from Archie Bunker.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I came up with him. They just kind of rubbed off on me.
So,
that's how Vinny came about.
So is this your primary activity, or is this your avocation and hopefully becoming a new career?
I hope it becomes a career. I'm really pushing and trying to network with different people. Nothing is 100% yet, but I'm getting a lot of good leads. I have met a lot of people in the business. you know, nothing concrete yet, but hopefully soon, hopefully.
Do you do stand-up also?
I gave up stand-up. Actually, I did stand-up for about a year, and if you see, you know, my characters and my routines, they're more geared towards, like, sketch, like Saturday Night Live skits.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really do too well stand-up. I mean, I did okay at stand-up, but I was going towards the sketch thing, so I kind of veered away from that.
Right, but you're getting some attention from the people in television?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, nothing definite, but I'm talking to different people who have connections, you know, and as of right now, I consider everything hearsay until I get an actual phone call from somebody, but I've been approached by people who know producers, who know people in the TV and film industry. I talk on a regular basis with a woman by the name of Lisa Levy, who is a singer from Canada, who is about to release an album. Her music's on iTunes coming up. She was on Entertainment Tonight in Canada, and she's really taken on this. She was on YouTube. She had a song on YouTube that like got a couple million views in like a matter of a week, and she's really, really popular, and supposedly she's the next Mariah Carey, and if you listen to her, if you get a chance to listen to her, she's definitely got a lot of talent, and she's definitely gifted. But I've been talking to her. We collabed on a couple videos together, and if she gets there before I do, hopefully she'll find a part in a video for Earl.
That'll be fun. So, yeah, we should let our listeners go look at Earl. He's kind of hard to describe. But
it's hard to look at, folks, so if you see him, you know, I apologize for the grotesqueness of Earl, but you know, he grows on you, I can definitely say that, because everybody's reaction towards Earl was disgust, and then a month later, they all love Earl, and they want more Earl videos, and I constantly get emails, constantly on a daily basis, to do more Earl videos.
So this dog driving the car was priceless.
Well, that's funny because that was just a spur of the moment, and that was shot in a half an hour.
So you have a little dog who's a pug, is it?
Yeah, we adopted a pug. Richard is his name. And one day I just thought of the idea of just, you know, going out driving. And this idea had been done before, but it was more or less for fun. I didn't think it would ever get featured. And we just had my dad put Richard on his lap. And I sat in the back acting like the dog. And the car drove next to us was driven by my mom. And my cousin Eric filmed us. And with a little bit of good photography and editing, you know, it almost pulls it off as the dog driving. It's humorous. You'd have to see it.
Oh, it's adorable. It won't work on the radio, though, so they'll have,
right,
to go, they'll have to go see it online. But it really is adorable.
Yeah, that got, I think they got somewhere around 2.5 million views and probably close to 10,000 comments. And funny, 99% of the comments are people trying to break down the video, how it's not real, how I tried to pass it off as real. And obviously, dogs can't drive, but thousands of people think I was trying to pull that off and fool the public. But I just did it for fun, and you know, a majority of the people understood that and got a kick out of it. And I was actually, that's the video that a guy producing a show for Fox emailed me, and then we spoke on the phone a couple times, and I mailed them the file for the movie. They want to use it on the new TV show. I don't remember the name of it. I'm not in front of my computer, but it's a television show that's going to be reality videos or sort of like America's Funniest Video.
Right.
And they wanted to use the clip, so hopefully soon it'll be on.
So this was a whole family project.
Oh, yeah, I have the whole family help me.
I wondered who was driving, because it had to be somebody thin enough to practically disappear in the video.
Yep, that was my dad. He was getting out the whole time.
That's great. So you managed to enroll everybody in some of your projects here.
Yeah, I like to involve everybody. It's fun. And a lot of my family members, cousins, you know, they like to get involved with it, because now that it's gaining popularity, and each one of my videos is getting a minimum of 1,000 views, so they're getting seen by a lot of people, and I think it gets people excited and interested, and they want to be a part of it and be seen as well. And it's fun. I love doing it.
That's great. So, Maureen, it must help a lot to have a brother doing comic relief for you.
Oh, yeah, it does. Enjoy him.
So, do you also have a good sense of humor at home?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We get it from our mother.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wasn't this interview supposed to be about me?
Oh, I get to talk with Maureen some too, don't I?
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Maureen.
What else can you tell us about Ed? Tell us about the other side of Ed.
Well, not only is he a you know, very funny comedian, but he's a great, great husband, and he's a great father, and he's obviously a more than great brother to do what he did for me, and he's one of my best friends, definitely.
I could say the same.
Mm-hmm. We're very definitely close.
Yeah, we're definitely mm-hmm. close. We'll talk on the phone at least 6 times a day. We'll talk on the phone.
Yeah, every day. So I feel very, very blessed to have a brother like him.
That's wonderful. And there's another sibling? There's another brother?
Yeah, we have he's older than me, but younger than Ed. He has severe learning disabilities as well as VHL. So he really got the worst deal of us all.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you said your mother has VHL as well.
Yes, but I like to call my brother and my mother VHL wannabes because they've only each had 2 surgeries, so I definitely have it, but not as severe.
Yeah, and you managed to get sort of all of the possible aspects of VHL.
Yeah, I did, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it's been... Thank God for it, because my mother has been there to take care of me, you know, always, mm-hmm. you know, taking me to the hospital, being by my side all the time, and she would have never been able to do that if she would have had it as severe as I do, so.
Right.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
We'll be right back to talk some more with Ed Bassmaster and his sister Maureen. This is Joyce Graff, and you're listening to The Powerful Patient. Please go to powerfulpatient.org. You will find there the program guides for this show, which will give you greater detail about the medical information that we're discussing, the people we've spoken with, and the websites that we reference in the show. We would also appreciate your support in making this program happen. Thank you very much, and stay with us. We'll have more for you in a moment.
And how old are you, Maureen?
I'm 26.
26.
Yeah.
Right. Your 12 surgeries, my goodness, in the last 3 years have been what? You mentioned a brain tumor.
I had two over the past. I had, they were like a year apart. I lose count all the time. It was like 2 bladder surgeries, 5 kidney surgeries, 2 brain surgeries, an eye surgery. Am I there yet? and then I had the fistula police. So.
Yeah, and your eye enucleations happened before that?
I had the first one done when I was 4, and then I just had the left one done in August.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope you have some time off here.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, and get to enjoy your nice new kidney here for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Yes, well, it sounds like your family, though, is dealing with VHL in a wonderful way.
Yeah, we are. It's just who we are, you know? You don't even think about it anymore. It's just part of life.
Right.
That's how we do, Joyce. That's how we do.
Yeah. Now you have to explain to the uninitiated what voice you were doing there.
That's my voice. That's my attitude towards VHL.
Yeah.
Gotta laugh, and you just gotta joke about it, and said this will probably get edited out. But anyway, this is just an idea of how we deal with the humor, or how we deal with the disease and try to laugh it off. One day I called my mom And I said, hey, Mom, you know, I just heard on the radio that they found a new form of VHL, and it affects women in their breast. And she said, oh, my God, get out of here. I said, yeah, it's called Von Nipple. And she lost it for about 10 minutes. She couldn't stop laughing. It was... So just an idea of how we deal with things around here.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible, but it's... You know, it's the only way, other than that, we would just mope about it and be depressed about it.
And that wouldn't help
it doesn't
anybody.
Help the situation.
No.
And I feel that making light of the situation actually helps us a lot. It helps me, I know that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've met several people who have a sort of wacky sense of humor about it and make jokes in the hospital and so forth. And as you say, sometimes the nurses or the doctors will say, now, come on, be quiet. Or, I don't know if you're taking this seriously enough. And they say, listen, we know the serious side. We don't need to dwell there all the time. Yeah. No, I think that's a wonderful attitude toward it, because when you have some serious condition in the family, you have to find a way to incorporate that into your life, because, as you said, it is a part of your life. There's no getting around that. You can't just keep trying to pretend it's not there. It is
right.
There. But thank you. This is a wonderful way to be dealing with it. And so clearly you have a number of medical things that you have to keep up with, Maureen. And you said your mother helps you with making sure that you keep up with your screenings and be watchful about things that might be going on.
Well, I'm actually the one that makes sure that she keeps up with her screenings.
Good.
she hates her MRIs. But now since I'm an adult, I of course schedule all that stuff myself. But you know, she has a very flexible work schedule because she's a hairdresser, so, and me being blind, she's able to take me to all my appointments and everything, so.
Great. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten good support from the state of Pennsylvania with rehab and all, with the blindness?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I have.
Do you have a dog?
I do. She's retired now.
Uh-huh.
I got her when I was 18, and, she really helped me because I went to, college for a couple years, and then I went to massage therapy school. So she was there with me for all of that, and she's my baby. I love her to death. And now she's just a happy retired lab.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about getting another one?
I don't feel comfortable getting another one as long as she's alive.
Uh-huh.
So maybe eventually, but not for a while.
Right, just so everybody understands, guide dogs become such an integral part of your life, and they're with you all the time, that even when they can't work anymore, they often become kind of jealous if another dog tries to take over that job. And so it's kind of hard to have a retired guide dog and an active guide dog in the same house.
And I mean, many people do, but it just doesn't feel right for me, so.
Yeah. Becomes a treasured pet, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you working yourself now?
Not. I had actually 12 surgeries just in the past 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's been kind of hard out. Yeah, I was a massage therapist, but I'm actually now starting, trying to start my own business with Mary Kay. So I'm going to try that. I think it's more flexible with my health condition and everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, I actually had a stroke my last brain surgery, which has made my left hand not able to be as mobile, so massage isn't working anymore.
Right. And that's your dog-driving hand. So,
yes.
but you're still able to drive with the dog?
Yeah. I still have grip and everything. It just doesn't have the same feeling and not quite as mobile, like for intricate things.
Right. What else would you want to tell somebody who is dealing with von Hippel-Lindau disease or some other genetic risk factor for some disease, MEN2 or NF? There are lots of diseases like this that run in families. Do you have any advice you'd want to share with someone?
Just to not let it affect you negatively, I guess, just to just not let it be who you are, you know, just especially like if you're thinking about, I know for some people with, you know, that have genetic disorders in their family of not having children and things, because people always ask me that if I'm going to have kids, and I would like to have kids. I mean, my mom had me, and if she would have not had me because she knew she had VHL, how our lives would be so different, you know?
Well, Maureen, you wouldn't be here.
Exactly. But your life would be majorly different. You'd have two kidneys.
Yep. I'd be happy.
Yeah.
You might not be there either, Ed.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for the chance to have the interview and, you know, air out a few things. And I hope that anybody is listening, like I said before, that might be thinking about donating a kidney. It's definitely well worth it. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You can only do it one time. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's definitely the right thing to do. So if you're contemplating it, definitely go for it, and you'll feel great about it afterwards.
Maureen, and did they give you an estimate of how long you might wait on the list if you had waited for a donor kidney?
Well, typically I'm AB positive, so I'm the universal recipient, so the wait time is usually about a year for that blood type.
Uh-huh. But so depending on blood type, it can be 4 or 5 years.
Yes, my mom is B, B positive, and that's a 5-year wait time.
Wow.
So, I'm of course, you know, I'm lucky if in the future I need another one and do have to go on the list, but that's, you know, that's the rarest blood type, so that's not the norm.
And living for 4 or 5 years on dialysis is really very painful.
I can't even imagine. 7 months was hard enough. I cannot imagine 4 or 5 years.
Right.
It was the worst 7 months of my life, and I hope to never, ever, ever have to spend one day on dialysis again.
Well, hopefully your new kidney is going to chug for you for a very long time.
I hope so.
They say that a kidney from a live donor should last you 30 to 50 years.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And it's functioning at 120%. I mean, right after the surgery, my creatinine was normal. Right away. So I've been very, very, very blessed.
Right, and creatinine is a measure of your kidney function, how well your kidney is clearing the bad stuff out of your blood.
Yes.
Right. And so whenever you're on dialysis, it's always abnormally high, because dialysis is only a crude approximation of what a real kidney can do. It cleans out part of the toxins, but not all of them. And that's one of the things that often makes people pretty sick.
And that's also because your kidneys are constantly at work, I would imagine, but I'm not really sure on that.
They are absolutely constantly at work, and you're right. When you're on dialysis, you're only doing that, say, 3 times a week. You were on 3 times a week?
Yeah, 3 times a week for 3.5 hours.
Okay, so just 3 times a week, you're able to clean the toxins out of your blood instead
right.
of constantly. So then when you get your new kidney, the new kidney goes to work and starts cleaning all the toxins out of your blood, and that's why it often takes a couple of days before the level gets down. But you said your creatinine was level the very first day after your surgery?
Yep. It was a little elevated, but it was better than when I had kidneys even.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
Right.
Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
If anybody's listening, I'm out of work right now. I need a job. No, seriously, Joyce, please stop. I need a job. I'll do anything for work, you know, comedy, horror, whatever. At bassmaster@gmail.com, just email me, please. Anybody that's listening that has half of a heart. I mean, I donated a kidney, and now I need a job.
Right.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say. You know, just clear that out there, but
that's
yeah.
Okay. And that was that was Earl speaking, right?
No, that wasn't Earl. hello?
That's Earl.
That's Earl.
So the character who's looking for work, I forget the name.
That's Ed Bassmaster, yes. that's the real deal.
That's the real deal.
Oh, well,
I hope that we see lots more of Ed Bassmaster on television, and I look forward to that very much.
Thank you. It seems really common when once a celebrity is affected directly by a certain disease, they become a strong advocate for, you know, research in that. And I think that's a great thing because so many people tune into that person. And that's what my hopes are one day that, you know, I'm on TV and when I go to make a message about this, I can bring a lot of people to help for the research of this, you know, horrible disease.
Mm-hmm. It still amazes me how, you know, how many even doctors, medical professionals have, they just don't know what VHL is.
Right.
It's amazing. And these are, I mean, this is in big hospitals.
Right. It is. It's one of 7,000 rare diseases, and so it's pretty much happenstance whether you find a doctor who's familiar with VHL or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it certainly has sweeping effects on an individual and a family, and so that's one of the reasons that the family support organizations are so important here, and the VHL Family Alliance is trying very hard to help plug that hole and at least get you hooked up with the right information as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ed said that he called and spoke with me for about a year ago.
Yeah, I remember.
When he was thinking about the kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't even, it was right before I lost my kidneys. But I remember it was right before when we knew that I was going to lose them, but it was before the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah. And your son, he was on dialysis for 2 years, right?
2.5 years, yeah.
2.5 years, wow.
Right. And he itched the whole time.
Mm.
And we never could find out why. They tried every anti-itch cream and pill.
I itched too. I itched also.
Yeah.
I itched constantly, especially on my face and scalp.
Really?
Yes. I itched the whole time. That is so funny that you said that because I would ask my nephrologist every week, why am I so itchy? Why? And they never had an answer.
Yeah, they never had an answer for him either. The best answer that I came up with was from a nutritionist who said it's a toxic reaction.
That's what I figured too. That it was just something that I was eating or drinking that was causing it.
No, it's what wasn't getting cleared out of your bloodstream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Again, the kidney, dialysis is wonderful, and I'm glad we have it, but it is still only a crude approximation of what a kidney really does. And
yeah.
A kidney is a pretty amazing little multifunction organ, and it's only about the size of your fist, but it helps to regulate blood pressure. It tells your bone marrow that it needs to create red blood cells. So there's lots of stuff that it does, and we really don't even understand everything that it does. So when they put the machine together, it does take most of the toxins out of your blood, but not all. And they have to give you erythropoietin to replace, so that you don't go badly anemic, to replace the function that a kidney does to tell your bone marrow to make red blood cells.
Yeah, that's so weird that you said that he itched, because nobody else in there had that.
Yeah, I've been told that that's not very common amongst all people who have dialysis, but it's very common in the VHL community. And I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Almost everybody with VHL that I've spoken with who's had dialysis has had the itching. And I wonder if it's in part because of the abruptness of the kidney loss. Because people with VHL, just so everybody understands, people with VHL don't have kidney functional disease, but it's a kidney cancer tumors. And surgically, we wind up taking more and more kidney away in order not to get metastatic kidney cancer, take the tumor out before it metastasizes. But in some cases, that means that we lose all the kidney function. We try to avoid that, but sometimes it's not avoidable. And so just in a surgery overnight, you'll lose all your kidney. And then you're on dialysis, just bingo, just like that. So it's really rough. Your body doesn't have time to adjust into it slowly. It's just overnight. So, yeah, it's rugged. I'm sorry you had such a hard time with it, but You're wonderfully blessed to have such a good brother to help you out.
Yeah, I am. I definitely am.
Yeah. Thank you both. This has been so nice
to meet you and
have a chat with you. Sure. And are you guys on the mailing list for VHL?
I am, yes.
Okay. Great.
I'm on the mailing list. I get the newsletter, and I inform, you know, my mom and my sister with that.
Okay, great.
And definitely keep in touch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'll keep you up to date, you know, what's going on with the TV show and everything.
Great. Great. And I love your character, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'll be watching from the sidelines, Ed, and Maureen, and I hope everything goes very, very well for you from here forward.
You can tell just from that brief exchange that we had at the end how important it is for the patients to get together, for the families who are dealing with the same condition, to share their thoughts, share their experiences, because by doing that, you begin to discover things that you have in common and potentially some solutions or at least some understanding of what's going on. So family support organizations for the condition that's affecting you are very important, and you can discover them usually on the internet or through organizations like the National Organization for Rare Disorders or the Genetic Alliance, who have lists of organizations that focus on rare conditions. Sometimes they're very small, sometimes they don't yet have a website, but you might be able to find one through one of those mother organizations. You've seen through Maureen's experience the very big difference that it can make to have a new organ. And there are three things that you can do right now to make a big difference in someone's life. Number one, you can go down and register at the driving license authority that you are willing to be an organ donor. Secondly, be sure to discuss that with your family so that they understand your wishes and they know that you want to help someone else to live and to have a good quality of life. God forbid you should be in an accident, but if you are, wouldn't it be nice to make sure that something good comes out of the tragedy? And that's all any of us can hope to do. And third, talk with your friends about the possibility of organ transplant and organ donation. All of us need to begin thinking about this. Let me tell you one other quick story that might be useful in this regard. My friend Sandy needed a kidney transplant. Her husband, Joe, was willing to give her a kidney, but they were not a tissue match. He had a different blood type. So what they were able to organize through the organ sharing organization was that he donated a kidney to the top person on his blood type list, and Sandy got the first available kidney on her blood type list. So it was essentially a three-way swap. He gave to the top person on his list, she got the next organ up on her list, and that worked out fine. So it is a way of moving your loved one to the top of the list, even though you aren't a tissue match. Remember to pick up the program guide for today's show. It gives you more detail about kidneys, about transplantation, about von Hippel-Lindau disease, and it will also give you pointers to the clips that we've played from Ed Bassmaster's collection of skits that are over on YouTube. They're well worth a look. And I'd like to play one more for you before we go. This one is a wonderful impression of Steve Irwin and a tribute to his life and work. His conservation through exciting education, Steve Irwin the Crocodile Hunter, as played by Ed Bassmaster in his tribute to Steve Irwin.
My first encounter with the deadly spitting cobra was beautiful. I mean, you should have seen her, mate. I mean, she was a beautiful Sheila.
All right, folks, we're in search of the deadly spitting cobra. So let's just see if we can find him, mate. Oh, look, have a go at this. Looky here. Snake poo. Fresh snake poo. We're right on his trail, mate. Come on, let's find him.
At this point, we see Ed crawling on his stomach, approaching a deadly garden hose poised like a cobra ready to spit.
All right, folks. We've just located the deadly spitting cobra. Have a go right there, folks. There he is right there. So we're going to get up close and personal with him right now. Stay back, mate. Stay back. You're all right, mate. You're all right. Now, you always got to make sure you have proper eye protection like this, because one blow of venom from this guy can blind you for life. No, spitting cobra. Oh, you're all right, mate. You're all right. You're all right, mate. Boy, crikey, now that's smart!
Now, I've had a lot of close calls in my time, but I'll never forget the time when I had an extreme close encounter with a pit viper. I mean, it was really close, mate.
Come on. We just located the deadly pit viper right over here, mate. Right over here. Here he is. Here he is. Oh, here he is, mate. The deadly pit viper. Let's see if we can get him to come out of his burrow so we can get a better look at him. Come on out, mate. Come on out. You're a good boy. Yes, you are. You're a good boy. All right, he's coming out of his burrow. Here he... Oh, don't move. He's crawling down my shirt right now. Oh, he's going down my shorts. Unbelievable. I can't move. I don't want to frighten him. Oh, no. He's between my butt cheeks right now. Oh, no. When I have to fart, I better hold it in. I don't want to spook him. He's liable to bite my butt cheeks. Now he's crawling out the bottom of my shorts, oh, don't move, don't move.
I'll never forget the first time I laid my eyes on Agro. It was love at first sight. I mean, he was a gorgeous crikey, by crikey.
Alright, we've just got a phone call from a local village that said a crocodile is stranded in a little bit of water. So we're going to go in and try to rescue this crocodile. But we got to be careful, because anybody who knows crocs know they'll go into a death roll and really mess you up, mate. Well, there he is right there. Have a look at that bloke. Oh God, he's got to be a good 20, 30 feet long. The longest I've ever seen. Now I'm going to go up behind him and try to tackle him down. So stay right here and be careful.
Charge of all the wildlife up here. By crocky, I've been busy. So anyways, I just wanted to stop by and say hi to everybody. By crocky, take care.
Thank you very much for being with us today, and I hope that this program has been helpful to you in thinking about organ donation in a new way. Next week, we're going to talk with two sisters, Patty and Gina, who have started an organization to help themselves and other mothers of children with developmental disabilities or other mental issues that they're dealing with. And they're calling it Shut Up About Your Perfect Kid. So it'll be a fun ride. We'll talk with Patty and Gina next week. And I hope that you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you, and be a powerful patient.